Earlier this summer, a contract between Calviva Health and Kaiser Permanente left 9,000 Medi-Cal patients in the San Joaquin Valley to find all new doctors. We were curious how that transition happened. FM89's Kerry Klein set out to find out how significant this change was in the healthcare world and how doctors and patients experienced it.
Carlo DiCicco has been on hold for about 7 minutes. When an operator answers, he nearly drops the phone.
Yeah, hello?
He's on the phone with his daughter's health insurance network.
I'm trying to call to see what I can do with my daughter, where I can take her to see a psychiatrist.
DiCicco's teenage daughter suffers from chronic depression. She's been a Kaiser Permanente patient for around 10 years, seeing a child psychiatrist who knows her needs and can adjust her medication. So it was a shock when a letter arrived in July telling DiCicco on September 1st, his daughter wouldn't have access to that doctor or any others at Kaiser.
To get notification basically a little over a month out with no real solid foundation to what's happening, shows that there wasn't real too much foresight put into it.
The contract termination between Calviva and Kaiser affects about 9,000 Medi-Cal patients in Fresno, Madera, and Kings counties. As far as numbers go, this shift in care is actually pretty small scale, but it takes place in an area suffering from high rates of chronic disease that's already in the midst of a doctor shortage. And to those affected by the contract change, it's significant, especially because this is supposed to be the health safety net. Both Calviva and Kaiser say they're working to make the transition as smooth as possible, but it still brings out the helplessness patients feel when tossed from network to network.
So ideally, I'll be able to make a phone call and know by the end of the week my daughter can go see a psychiatrist. Reality is I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Calviva Health is a health insurer through the Medi-Cal Managed Care Program. It's a public, nonprofit health plan sponsored by a regional health authority in Fresno, Madera, and Kings counties. In this contract, Kaiser was the provider network, and Calviva reimbursed Kaiser doctors for seeing Medi-Cal patients. As to how the contract ended, neither Calviva nor Kaiser agreed to an interview, but they both answered questions by email. Kaiser claims Calviva terminated the contract without cause, and Calviva claims Kaiser wouldn't accept any of its proposed agreements. Contracts like this are at work all throughout our healthcare system, and Anthony Wright of the advocacy nonprofit Health Access says changes do happen all the time.
And it's actually sort of the byproduct of how we do healthcare, for better or worse, in our state and in our country, where it's largely a market-driven system based on negotiations between insurers and providers.
Nadare Porat of UCLA's Fielding School of Public Health says this isn't all that surprising coming from Kaiser.
There are some health plans that actually take on, enroll a lot of the Medi-Cal population, and some that historically have not taken on a large proportion. Kaiser is one of those.
4 years ago, Medi-Cal beneficiaries made up about 6% of Kaiser patients. Today, they're just 1.6%. Part of what makes this transition difficult is that Kaiser providers don't accept any other insurance plans. Janet Kaufman of UCSF's Institute for Health Policy Studies says this leaves patients to rebuild their care networks from scratch.
And not just your doctors. You're going to be going to a new hospital. You're going to need to find a different lab. You're going to need to find a different pharmacy.
Kaufman says what's concerning about this situation is that it happened to Medi-Cal patients in an already underserved area. Moving forward, she says, continuity of care is key, especially for those with chronic diseases and complex histories. Calviva claims it has a plan. For every patient pushed out of Kaiser, it claims it assigned them a new in-network primary care doctor. Carlo DiCicco doesn't recall ever being notified of that. The caretaker of another Calviva patient reported the same experience. But Steve Schilling, CEO of Clinica Sierra Vista, says he agreed to accept about 800 of Calviva's patients into his clinics.
We've been given a list of names of the folks they would expect to be assigning to our PCP health centers in Fresno. And we have been reaching out to them, both by telephone and by letter, over the last 30 days.
Dr. Raul Ayala, a family practitioner and chief medical officer of Adventist Health, says his clinics were assigned around 1,000 patients. He says it'll be a tough squeeze, but they're used to it.
It happens all the time. We're constantly going through these changes. So I think we've just kind of gotten used to healthcare changing that fast.
Even for those doctors with the capacity for new patients, there's no telling how long wait times could be. Carlo DiCicco was lucky. He was eventually connected with a psychiatrist, and while scheduling, another patient canceled. He got an appointment for his daughter yesterday. He says it went well. But others may not be so lucky. Before DiCicco was offered this appointment, he was told he'd have to wait until December. With Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.
Of course, long wait times are not a problem unique to those people now searching for a new doctor through CalViva. It's a problem faced by many throughout the San Joaquin Valley. It was also the subject of a major series that recently wrapped up here on FM 89 by our own Carrie Klein. It's called Struggling for Care, and you can find all those stories on our website. But Carrie now joins us in the studio to tell us a little more and to bring us up to date on some developments. First of all, Carrie, tell us a little more about what the series talked about for those of our listeners who maybe didn't hear it.
Right. Hi, Joe. So, yeah, essentially, it's about the fact that we really are short on providers here in the San Joaquin Valley. When it comes to primary care providers specifically, we've got about 35% fewer than what the state recommends. That's huge. We're also short on specialists and other providers. So this series was really an attempt to answer why and how this happened and also what's being done about it.
Now, this is part of the California Health Journalism Fellowship from the USC Annenberg School of Communication. So we reported on this over, about 6 months, looking at all these different stories. And again, you can find them at kvpr.org under Struggling for Care. What has changed? This healthcare world is pretty fast moving. Have there been any developments since those stories aired earlier this summer?
Yeah, there have been quite a lot of developments. We'll start with the good news. That's that that St. Agnes Medical Center in Fresno has announced that it's created a new residency program. And now I knew that this was coming. Didn't know exactly when, but they announced that starting 2018, they expect to be enrolling, starting with an internal medicine program, it'll go up to 120 residents within a couple of years. So that's really big. That's going to be one of the bigger ones here in the Valley.
Now, in some ways, does that underscore what you reported in your story about the challenges for expanding these residency programs with the federal budget cap? That was specific to existing residency programs. So that's where the budget kerfuffle is?
Yeah, exactly. There's a cap, a 20-year-old cap on the number of residents that teaching hospitals can have, but that's only existing teaching hospitals.
So they can't grow the existing ones as they would like to with federal dollars, at least,
mm-hmm.
but new ones can start.
Exactly. So St. Agnes is now becoming a teaching hospital, and they have 5 years before they run into their own cap. So they have to really ramp up and hit the ground running, and after 5 years, they cannot grow beyond that amount.
Do we know how many slots are going to be in that program?
Mm-hmm. There'll be 120 in total, and they'll have a couple different programs, starting with internal medicine, and then over a couple years, they'll ramp up to a few others.
So that's a big step for that Valley Hospital and a bit of good news in this story.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for that. What about maybe less good news?
So, yeah, the bad news, I guess, there are a few things that kind of affect the supply of doctors immediately, and then those that kind of affect the, you know, the doctor pipeline coming up. So more immediately, you know, we just had this story about CalViva and Kaiser. There are a lot of Medi-Cal patients searching for doctors now. But of course, you know, there's been a lot of uncertainty in Congress lately around healthcare policy. The Graham-Cassidy healthcare bill ultimately failed, but it interfered with Congress voting on a bunch of other key pieces of health legislation. So first, there's the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP. It provides Medicaid benefits to about 9 million kids throughout the country, and about 2 million of those kids are in California. Congress let this program expire on Saturday night. So that means there's no federal funding for it. There's some state funding, but it could run out as soon as January 2018. But of course, the federal government could still make an allotment for this in its budget that it's going to decide on the next month. But if not, it could really be bad news here in California in January.
Now, there were other programs also that were mentioned as part of this healthcare cliff, so
yep.
to speak, September 30.
Yep, absolutely. There's the Community Health Center Fund, which provides a huge amount of funding for community health centers. That includes a lot of federally qualified centers like Clinica Sierra Vista, like Adventist Clinics, Camarena Health. Again, if Congress does not act, well, they let it expire on Saturday, and if they do not act to include it in the federal budget in the next month, those clinics could all face a loss of 70% of their funding.
Now, I know you spoke with some people at those clinics. What did they tell you? How dire is their situation or on the panic level? Or how are they right now?
Well, Well, you know, there wasn't panic immediately, also because they weren't quite sure what Congress was going to do. I think they had faith. And then Congress, of course, did let this expire. So, I'm sure their hearts dropped a little bit. But I know at least, Clínica Sierra Vista, they expect that immediately it'll just mean they kind of have to stop expanding their programs. They have to stop thinking about growing new clinics, hiring lots of new folks. And then sometime next year is when they may actually start having to do layoffs. It won't be immediate, but it could still be pretty bad in the long term.
So bad news on that front in healthcare.
Yep, that's right. Of course, there was also funding for teaching health centers that was on the line. That eventually was passed, actually. So that's good news. Our teaching health centers, which are small residency programs in rural underserved areas, those have preserved their funding for at least the next couple of years.
So kind of a mixed bag. Some good news, some less good news.
That's right. And a little bit more, too, which has to do with immigration. Of course, we have a huge number of foreign educated doctors here in the Valley. President Trump recently announced that he would repeal DACA. That could affect the pipeline. A lot of Dreamers right now are at the age to either be thinking about or enrolled in medical school, in residency programs. So getting rid of DACA could really impact future doctors in that way. There's also the latest travel ban, which bars residents of 7 countries from entering the U.S. That could do the same to our doctor pipeline. And right now we have a lot of doctors in this valley from those banned countries, quite a number from Iran and Syria. There's also doctors from Venezuela, Libya, and Sudan.
So that's the key focus of that last report in your series. You can find all of those pieces on our website, strugglingforcare@kvpr.org. Carrie Klein with us today. Now, looking at this series, it wasn't just the reported pieces you did on the air. It was also a bit of a two-way street in that we were asking listeners for their experiences. How did they factor into this project?
Yeah, well, so it was really important to me from the beginning to really understand what this means at the patient level, at the individual resident level here in San Joaquin Valley. This is obviously an issue that really resonated for people because we asked and our listeners really delivered. So many of our listeners may remember hearing an on-air promo to call our tip line with stories about doctor shortages. And we got quite a lot of feedback. It worked. And some of these were really personal, gut-wrenching stories. We're putting some of these on the web that I'll tell you about afterwards. But first, here's an excerpt from what a woman named Angie told me. Angie lives in Bakersfield. She was diagnosed with cancer last year, and she has to commute to Los Angeles for her treatments.
Going out of town with those symptoms is already difficult enough, but now I'm disrupting not only my life, but I'm disrupting the life of family members because now they have to request time off of work and look for childcare and find other family members to step in and take over their responsibilities.
So finding those physicians, a common theme, whether it's the report we heard earlier this morning about Calviva and Kaiser or people like we just heard there in Bakersfield, was that really the biggest common thread that you saw in the responses that you heard from people? Or were there other things that came out of it?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of different angles to this and a lot of ways that this really disrupts people's lives and their health, of course. Here's another story. This is from Jasmine in Merced. She says she developed an excruciating stomach ache just after Thanksgiving a few years ago. She eventually ended up in the ER with appendicitis, where she was operated on. But that wasn't until after she had tried to make an appointment with her doctor.
I don't know if I made it clear to the young lady on the other line that my stomach was really hurting, but she told me that her next available appointment was a while back, but it was either in March or May. It was just kind of eye-opening to think like, wow, if I really had an emergency, I don't have a doctor, actually.
Another very powerful story there, and that anecdote on our website, kvpr.org. Tell us some more about that. How can people find some more of these personal accounts?
Yeah, so I've put together a whole collection of these testimonials and put them on a map on our website. So it's a post like any other story. If you go to our website, kvpr.org, you can find this map and click around to hear the rest of these stories from people really across the valley.
Again, kvpr.org. Look for the series Struggling for Care about the Valley's ongoing doctor shortage. Carrie Klein, our health reporter here at Valley Public Radio. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.